But I've decided to take a verse for our first rest stop from the very last chapter of the book. And that is the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis. And it's verse 20. If you have a Bible and you'd like to turn there, you can read with me. Joseph is the one doing the speaking, and he says, "As for you," speaking to his brothers, "you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." One of the most, I guess, well-recognized and beloved stories that children like is the story of Joseph in his coat of many colors. In case you are not familiar with the story, or you have forgotten the story, or your memory needs some refreshing, let's look a little bit at the story of the life of Joseph. Before I do tell you that story, let me raise a question for you to consider. How many unpleasant circumstances do you think would come your way in life during your lifetime, no matter whether you were a follower of God or not? How many things do you think would happen to you even if there wasn't a God? Now let me ask you, how many unpleasant circumstances do you think will come your way just simply because you did choose to follow God? Now we know that unpleasant circumstances visit the life of those who choose to please God and those who do not choose to please God. But how many of you think just come your way because you have made a decision sometime in your life to follow God? Now, we normally hear it said, and we are believe that Jesus is our problem solver, our trouble remover, our danger dissolver, and our fixer-upper. We never really expect or anticipate that if we join up with Jesus, we'll get in trouble, or it'll get us in hot water just because we have linked ourselves with Him. But you know, Daniel would not have ended up in the lion's den had he not followed God. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they would not have found themselves in the fiery furnace had they not followed God. Then there was John the Baptizer. He would not have lost his head had he not been a follower of God. And Stephen would not have found himself stoned to death had he not been a follower of Jesus. Paul would not have ended up in prison had he not followed God. You stop and think about it. Jesus himself would not have ended up on the cross had he not been a follower of the will of God. And in this list of those that I've just mentioned, we're going to have to add the man, Joseph. He was God's man. He followed God. He was a man in God's place, doing God's work, fulfilling God's will, and it got him in trouble. It got him in trouble. Now, that's the story of the life of Joseph. He got in trouble because he followed God. But that's not the end of the story. Well, let's go back and recall the story of Joseph. You remember, he was 11th of Jacob's 12 sons. Oftentimes, many refer to Joseph as a true symbol of Jesus in the Old Testament. For Jesus was much like Joseph, or to say another way, Joseph was much like Jesus. Anyway, Joseph had a dream that he would rule over all of his brothers, and he told them the dream, and they became very jealous. One day, Daddy Jacob sent Joseph out to check on the other brothers who were out in the field tending the sheep. Well, when the brothers saw Joseph coming, they plotted to kill him. Now, one of the brothers was named Reuben, and he talked them out of killing Joseph, but instead they would throw him into a deep pit and leave him there to die. Well, a trade caravan came along, and they decided instead of leaving him there to die that they would sell him into slavery, and the caravan went on towards Egypt, with Joseph now being sold into slavery. All he was doing what God told him to do. Obey his father. His father told him to go out and check on the boys. He went out and checked on the boys, the brothers, and he ended up in slavery. Well, he was then appointed to the house of Potiphar, who was the captain of Pharaoh's guard. While there, Potiphar's wife tried to get him to become immoral with her, and he refused, and she even accused him of doing what he refused to do, and he was thrown in prison. I mean, because he refused to commit fornication and become immoral, he chose to follow God's will and God's laws and commands. Because he chose to do right, he was thrown in prison. While in the prison, he was called upon to interpret some dreams that the Pharaoh had. And through the interpretation, the Pharaoh was so impressed with Joseph that he had him released and made him a co-ruler over the whole land of Egypt. While he was in this position of responsibility, he prepared for years of famine that was told to him would come by the Lord. In the end, his brothers and his father, because there was nothing to eat where they now lived, they came to Egypt for food, and there they discovered the brother they thought was dead or sold into slavery and long gone. And that's the story, in a nutshell, of Joseph. But again, let me say, Joseph all along had been God's man, always in God's place, always doing God's work. But had he not been any of these things, he would not have been thrown in that pit by his brothers, nor would he have been sold into slavery, nor would he have been put into prison. But because he served the Lord faithfully, these things befell him. You say, well, brother, it doesn't pay to be a Christian, does it? It doesn't pay to serve God. It doesn't pay to follow God. Look what it gets you into. I mean, we never dream that signing up with the Lord is going to get us in trouble. Now, as we consider the plight of Joseph, I want you to learn, first of all, a great spiritual principle under which God operates in dealing with his people. That principle is this, that God's plans for the present and especially for the future are much bigger than you and I. God's plans always come ahead of the comforts of God's servants. Now, you may not like this principle, and you may not like this kind of thinking on the part of God. You may not like this kind of arrangement, but the fact is, that is the way God operates. Because God's plans come ahead of our comfort and security and happiness. If that wasn't the principle under which God operated, you would not have had the story of Daniel in the lion's den, or Joseph in the pit, or in prison, or Paul in prison, or Christ on the cross. I mean, the purpose and the plan of God comes ahead of our comfort, our ease, our pleasure, our prosperity. These things are important to us. And I'm not saying they're not important to God. But it's more important to God for his plan to be accomplished if in accomplishing that plan, you're going to lose your pleasure and your ease and your comfort and your prosperity. Now, that's a principle under which God operates, and I think we have to recognize it. Now, as we look at the life of Joseph, all I can say is that we come to the conclusion, life lived in God's will can get very complicated. It can become very frustrating. It can come very demanding upon every ounce of our endurance and our patience and our faith. When trying to serve the Lord, things can become very difficult for us. And that's one thing I have to admire about Joseph that I'm still working on in my own life. I never read of Joseph complaining. And I think old Jacob could have heard me hollering and screaming all the way back home if I'd been thrown in the pit. But I don't find Joseph complaining of any of the ordeal through which he had to travel. Now let's go back in the 50th chapter of Genesis. This time look at verse 14 through 19. Joseph returned to Egypt and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father. After he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will now probably hate us. And surely he's going to get revenge on us for the evil we did when we threw him in the pit and sold him into slavery. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, your father commanded before he died saying, you tell Joseph this, forgive your brothers and their sin and the evil they did unto you. Forgive the trespass of these servants of God for your father's, Joseph's, father's sake. And the Bible says Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And his brethren also wept, went and fell before his face and said, behold, we'll make ourselves your servants. And that's what his dream was that got him thrown in the pit in the first place. And Joseph said to them, don't be afraid, for I am in this place because this is where God wanted me. But as for you, you thought evil against me when you threw me in the pit. But God allowed it because He meant it to eventually work good and to bring good to pass, as He has done this very day, and many people have been saved from starvation. Now that takes us down to the verse that we picked, verse 20. God meant it for good.
Empowered them and had a purpose.
God had a day in mind, and He wanted to bring it to pass, and I was a part of that plan to save many people. Now, had not Joseph been sold into slavery by the brothers, and had he not been thrown into jail, and had he not had to interpret the king's dream, he would not have been placed in the position of authority. Had he not been in that position, he could not have commanded that there be stored up food for the years of famine to come. God had a plan. But the plan involved much discomfort in the life of Joseph. But in the end, God brought about a great benefit to all the people. And Joseph was a part of that benefit. You may ask, well, couldn't God have spared the people from famine an easier way than to have Joseph go through all this trial and tribulation and sorrow and pain and trouble? Yes. I will not say God could not have done it any other way. Why, He could have eliminated the famine very simply by sending rain. And there would have been plenty of crops grown. And no one would have been starving. Or God could have rained down manna from heaven. He did it later on in the history of Israel. He could have done it this time for all the people. He could have fed Jacob and all of his family and all the people through manna if that would have been his desire. But that wasn't God's desire. And that wasn't God's plan. That's the only answer I can give you. God says, my ways are not your ways. They're higher than your ways. They're better than your ways. So all I can say is God must do things the way God must do them. And it was through Joseph this time that God chose to bring about relief for the people. I'm reminded here of a verse well known by most Christians that Paul stated in Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and called according to His purpose. This is the same illustration that you have in the life of Joseph. It's the same thing in the life of Daniel, the life of Jesus, the life of Stephen. There were discomforts, but also through the discomforts, great benefits were brought to pass that seemingly could not have been done any other way. And even though Joseph at the time did not understand what God was doing, I believe Joseph did believe that God understood what He was doing. Even though he was not in control of his brothers or of Potiphar's wife or of the king or the Pharaoh, he felt God was in control. And surely If the brothers did not know what they were doing, God knew what he was doing. And so Joseph had a great admiration for God's wisdom, power, and knowledge. But mainly God's purpose, predetermined purpose for all of creation. Without doubt, there is always, and I want to underline this, there is always purpose in trials that God allows to come to his people who are doing their best to serve him and obey him. It may take years for the purpose to become clear. It may not even be revealed to you until you finally get to heaven. But I want to say again, God must have a purpose in everything he does. God never does anything without a plan or a purpose. His first plan and purpose is exemplified in creation. There's nothing haphazard. Everything is well thought out. And every tribulation that comes into our life, because we walk with God, there has to be a God-ordained, permitted purpose. And there's something else we need to understand as we study this story about Joseph. Let me say something else also. And I've already stated this several times. Joseph was not thrown in the pit because he was out of the will of God. He was not being chastened as one who was disobedient to God. I mean, he was a person who was very close to God. I don't believe Joseph was not close to God when he was in prison. I believe he was very close to God. To be honest with you, I think Joseph was closer to God in his lifetime when he was in the pit and when he was in prison. Sometimes people may ask the question, where is the most likely place to find Jesus? Well, the typical answer would be, well, it'd probably be the Lord's house. That's probably the first place you can go to find Jesus, find the Lord. No, let me tell you, the most likely place that you can find Jesus, it's always in the valley. It's in the pit. It's when you're in the pits. You know, he's always there. What does the Lord say in the 23rd Psalm? Yea, though I walk through the valley. Did you notice that? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when there's frightening all around us. That's not all that's there. I believe Daniel felt closest to the Lord in his life when he was in the lion's den. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego when they were in the fiery furnace. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any evil. I will not fear what befalls me. Why? Now here it is. For thou art with me. And it's strange that when trouble comes into our life, we begin to say, God, where are you? As though God is never around when we're in the valley. And yet the psalmist said that's where you're likely to find him, in the valley. When on the mountaintop, we don't usually find the Lord on the mountaintop. You know why? Because we're too busy enjoying everything on the mountaintop. It's just too happy up there. The scenery is too great. We're too wrapped up in all the things taking place around us on the mountaintop. Man, that's an exciting place on the mountaintop. We ain't got time to think about the Lord. Everything around us is catching our attention. But when you get in the valley, there's nothing in the valley to catch your attention away from Jesus. There's no competition in the valley. I mean, when you're down in the pit, there's nothing to see, nothing to do. When you're in prison, there's nothing to see, there's nothing to do, no place to go. Life ain't great. Well, life isn't great in the valley. But what you will find there in the valley is the Lord. I tell you, the Lord likes to visit the valley. When Jesus walked this earth, you know, most of the people that he ministered to and he found, they were all in the valley. He announced when he came, I have come to give what sight to the blind. That's folks in the valley. You know, that's folks in the valley. Jesus said, I have come and I'm going to do my ministry, folks, in the valley. And so he went to the poor and the lame and the sick and the blind and the possessed and the sad and the tormented, the oppressed, the victimized, and all we could go. Folks that are in the valley. I think it's hard to get somebody on the mountaintop interested in their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Normally you have to catch them in the pit. You have to catch them in the prison. You have to catch them in the valley. Most folks find the Lord in the valley. They don't find Him on the mountaintop. Hollywood occupies the mountaintop. Fun and games is on the mountaintop. TV is on the mountaintop. But I tell you, it's down in the valley. That's where you find the Lord. What the psalmist said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art there. Thou art with me. To be honest with you, I believe every miracle that Jesus ever performed was done for someone who at that moment was in the valley. In the valley. We don't call on the Lord on the mountaintop. We call on the Lord in the valley. Yet most of us, if we are true, we have to say, yeah, but I like the mountaintop. I like trouble-free life. I want to stay on the mountaintop. I want to see all the wonders. I don't want to go down in the valley. I tell you, some of God's greatest wonders come through people that's been in the valley. You don't need any wonders on the mountaintop. There aren't any emergencies on the mountaintop. There aren't any problems on the mountaintop. But I tell you, inscribed on the valley floor, inscribed on the walls of the valley, this old verse, Genesis 50:20, God meant it unto good. You ought to write that down in your shoes. God meant that for good. So when you start looking down, you'll see it on the floor beneath you. Not just your troubles and not just the tear stains on the floor, but you'll see those words inscribed in the valley floor. God means it for good. You've got shade trees on the mountaintop. But you know those old shade trees on the mountaintop, they're getting their water from the valley floor. We, like Joseph, must learn that not to deplore upsets and trips through the valley, because those trips are going to eventually lead to great assets. You're not going to stay in the valley. You're going to come out. The psalmist never implied you'd stay in the valley. You're going to come out on the other side. The story is told of a woman who spent the last 10 years of her life upon a sick bed. There was hardly a day went by that she did not have great pain. And yet daily she saw to it that she purposely gave the Lord thanks for the testing and trying through which she was passing. After her death, her husband was looking in her Bible and found the poem that many of you are familiar with, but if not, I think it's a good one to close out this message with. It's entitled, The Weaver. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors He worketh steadily. Oftentimes He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly, shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are so needful in the weaver's skillful hand, and the threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. He knows, He loves, He cares, nothing this truth can dim. He gives His very best to those who leave the choice with Him. Until next time.